Well, welcome back. And I am here chatting with a dear, dear lady by the name of Giselle Woods. And Giselle, I have to tell you, is one of my favorite people because I absolutely adore this woman's spirit, her tenacity, and how positive she is in the face of real adversity. Giselle hails from Dallas, Texas, and she is a flight attendant. And Giselle's going to share with us, you know, what happens when life throws you that curveball. So, Giselle, welcome. I'm so excited you're here.
Thank you so much, Suzanne. I am equally excited to be here. Thank you so much for the gracious introduction. My name is Giselle Woods. I am from Dallas, Texas, and I've spent the last 20 years traveling the globe and, you know, enjoying my life as a flight attendant until I had my wings clipped and I was grounded by a debilitating illness. Now, granted,
So, Giselle, tell me a little bit, tell us a little bit about, you know, this whole series is focused on health and wellness and our personal responsibility for our health. So tell us a little bit about what life was like before you got your diagnosis.
Life before I got my diagnosis, I thought was good, okay? I was thin. I thought I was healthy. I had no major illnesses. I mean, you know, no diabetes, no heart condition, no, you know, high blood pressure or anything like that. And although I didn't exercise, I didn't have a sit-down desk job. I was walking all the time and running through airports, catch flights, and everything like that. So I thought that was pretty active. That was probably good enough. And so I found out that I actually could be doing more from the health standpoint. Now, yes, I am a recovering junk food junkie, but, you know, that was what was available, and that's what you ate. I mean, you saw food and you ate it. I mean, if it looks good, you don't really read a lot of labels, especially if you're not showing any outward repercussions that would make you do so. And so I was just, you know, enjoying life and eating as much as I wanted, whenever I wanted, you know, and I thought life was good until, yes, you're right, until I did find out that actually, even though I didn't see it, doesn't mean that it wasn't there. And I learned that I had kidney disease and that it was progressing somewhat rapidly. And so at that point, I knew that I needed to make a change. In fact, I will say I didn't know at that point because kidney disease was foreign to me. I knew I had kidneys, but I didn't know what they did. I didn't know how important they were to the body. And so after the initial blow and shock of it all, because I didn't even really believe them, to be honest with you, because I didn't feel any different. But I did start researching, and that's when I found out that you can actually lose like 70 to 85% of your kidney function before you have any symptoms.
So tell us a little bit about, because you said some really interesting things. One is you said that you were thin, which is interesting because I'm thin, and I've been blessed to be slender most of my life. And when people look at me, they automatically assume health, right?
Right.
And I've had periods in my life where I'm anything but healthy, but people already assume that I'm healthy. And so that's one of the things that was happening for you. But the other thing, you said that you were the junk food junkie. You know, you ate, you saw food and you ate food. What exactly were you eating at that time? Just so that everyone listening really gets to understand this, because I think we often think we can eat anything and everything, and we minimize the impact of what we're eating on our actual health.
I was eating a lot of fast food, a lot of, you know, burgers, fries, restaurant food, things, processed food, packaged food from the grocery store, you know, different things like that. Not a whole lot of fresh fruits, vegetables, and cooking and those types of things.
So you were the on the run microwave kind of gal.
Correct.
Okay. And then the other thing you said was that when you got the diagnosis, you didn't believe it because there was nothing seemed to change. What was that like?
It was very enlightening, because it's like, you can't always go by how you feel. There may be things happening in your body, but you may not even feel them until you are very far along in the decline of or the progression of the illness. And so we have to stay abreast of what is going on in our bodies very early on, because we already know that an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. So if you can find out the sooner, the better.
That's a powerful statement. You can't always go by how you feel. And, you know, I'm a real big proponent that our body leaves us clues and it talks to us. And most of us don't pay attention and we don't listen, right? Mm-hmm. And because most of the time we're feeling okay, but then our body progressively has bigger and bigger clues. And what you're saying is sometimes there aren't actually any clues, and it is really just lifestyle that creates the issues behind the scene that we don't see.
And there are some warning signs or clues that we dismiss. Because, for instance, I've never been this age before. So if something happens to me, I'm like, oh, I'm getting old. You know what I mean? Or when my legs cramp at night, I'm like, oh, I wear 4-inch heels in the airport. So you think, oh, this is because of that and this is because of that. But you don't realize that high potassium levels, because your kidneys aren't filtering them, will cause muscle cramps. See, there's just little things that you don't know, and you may justify away or just dismiss because, oh, I'm getting older, or, oh, it's because I do this or I do that.
So what you're saying is that in hindsight, there were some signs, but you attributed them to all sorts of different things. And one of the most common ones, I think, that we do is, oh, that's part of getting older. And so
right.
we pass off those signs as aging.
Yes, because there were a few things, but I didn't even know that those would have been warning signs. How would I have known? I didn't know anything about kidney disease or any of the symptoms that lead up to it. And still, that was very far along. It had progressed, greatly by that time anyway.
So I'm curious, what was your habit around just going to the doctor and, just having those checkups and so on and so forth?
I kept my well woman exam every year, and I went to the dentist every 6 months. That was it. And I thought that was enough. I mean, your well woman is supposedly an all around, check of things, but actually it wasn't until I requested of the OB-GYN to do a complete blood culture, because I was concerned about hormonal imbalances, all the things that were going on in my body. I'm trying to figure it out. And it wasn't until then that the EGFR, which is your estimated glomerular filtration rate, that is the marker that they use for determining how well your kidneys work. And so that number was off. But apparently that was something that she did not check for when she would take my blood during the well woman. And I didn't know that.
So, so you're flagging a few things for all of us. And Giselle, mm-hmm. thank you so much, because this is so key. One is, you're talking about our responsibility to request things when yeah. around our personal health, right? And when I go to a specific lab where I actually am able to request whatever I want in terms of my blood work, right? So I can get the host of things done. And most people go, well, why do you do that? I go, because I want to know, right? But at the same time, you're also talking about a huge need for preventative care in terms of doing the things that the best things that you can in terms of what you eat, how you hydrate your body, how much sleep you get, all the exercise, all those things to really support your body and do that preventative care and taking full responsibility for that.
Right. We have to. We are our healthcare advocates. We have to do it for ourselves.
Okay. So tell me, you get this diagnosis and when you got your diagnosis, was it stage four or was it different and then it's progressed to stage four kidney disease?
It progressed. When I was first diagnosed, it was with a condition called hydronephrosis, and that was a blockage in my right ureter, which was like pinching a straw. It kept the urine that was being produced by the kidneys from flowing down into the bladder so that they could be eliminated from the body. So they were therefore backing up into the kidney. And as it backs up into the kidney, it causes the kidney to swell, which could eventually cause it to die. So they put a stent in, which would hold the ureter open so that it could flow. I was at 75% kidney function at that time.
Wow.
My urologist left the practice. And so before she left, she checked me. She says, "You're doing fine." And I said, "I feel fine." And that was it. So when she left the practice, I was like, "Oh, well, I'm feeling fine." She said I was fine. I didn't go back. So it wasn't for, I would say, another few years, two, three years, when I found one of those, you know, those Google top five signs you may have kidney disease. One of those came across my desk, and I had one of those symptoms, which was sudsy urine. Mine looked like bubble bath in the toilet. So I was like, okay, I probably better go to the doctor. So I find a nephrologist, and when I go in, sure enough, my kidney function had diminished to 40% at that time.
So let me understand this. So you were told that your function is 75%.
Right.
And at that point, you don't do anything. You don't make any major changes. You just think, okay, well, they say that that's cool, and you just continue doing what you were doing?
I continued life as normal. I did.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Okay. And you know, I want to highlight that because, I can't stress how many people get the diagnosis, you're just at the border of, whether it be diabetes, high blood pressure, all these different health challenges and diseases, and they're just at that threshold, and they can do something, they can make the changes, and for many people, a large percentage of people, they just continue on like, oh, okay. It's almost like they put their head in the sand, and they just keep going because they don't want to take responsibility and make the changes.
Right.
And for you, you're now living the impact of first forewarned, continuing to just go, okay. And then boom, you get this further diagnosis.
And you are so right. I have even spoken to people at my stage now who have said, "Oh yeah, the doctor told me one time that my kidney function was not doing so good and I had a little renal insufficiency," and just like you said, just like I was, they seem like, "Oh yeah, no big deal," but I'm like, you know what, you need to start making some changes right now today because you don't want to be where I am. Dialysis is really no joke. I mean, I probably take things in stride and everything, and I probably try to make it look like it's okay, but it's really no joke. It's a commitment. And, I mean, your kidneys are important.
Well, you know, so it's not no joke. You're fighting for your life right now.
Exactly. Yes.
That's no joke. That's no joke.
No joke at all.
So let me ask you, when did you have the moment where you actually had the aha? Because I'm still at like 75 and you just continue. 75, I'd be freaking out. I'd be like, okay, we got to make some changes, right? So I believe.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I guess it wasn't until the 40% that I really said, oh my God, this is really happening. Because the doctor, she would look at my test results and she would look at me. She'd look at the test results and she'd look at me. She looked at the test results. results. I mean, and she was like, you don't look like the person that's described on this paper. And I'm like, really? Because I guess I'm just so used to pushing through. I just push through. Whatever it is, push through. And I was actually going to push myself clean into the grave. Because what she was showing is, ma'am, you don't understand. If you don't make a change right now, this is going to change for you. You see what I'm saying? You're not going to have a choice. This is going to stop you if you don't stop yourself.
And you know, and one of the things I want to highlight and ask a question for everybody listening, because you just said something so key. You know, as we do our daily hustle and grind and we're chasing the dollar and doing our family responsibilities and we're juggling 55 million things, the question I want to ask everybody to really consider is, how often do you just push through, right, without stopping to take inventory and stock of what's going on for you physically, emotionally, spiritually, right? And we are so programmed to push through, you know, the whole slogan, no pain, no gain. We are so programmed to just keep moving, to just keep pushing through. And we are also, I think, socialized to ignore those cues. And just and put them off as minimal, nothing really going on, when our body is screaming to us. So when was it that you said, okay, Giselle, it's time for a change?
40%. So at 40%, that was when I started trying to learn more about kidney disease. The dialysis center put me with a nutritionist. So that I could learn more of the foods that you should eat and eat, because at that time I didn't realize that protein was hard to process by the kidneys. And so that's what would cause the suds in the urine, is you're dropping a lot of protein. And but I didn't know that. And so my attempt to get healthy was to buy granola bars, raw almonds, Greek yogurt, spinach salads, you know, and then put my little tuna on top, you know, hummus and bell peppers, all things that sound perfectly healthy, right? For someone with healthy kidneys, I was actually overloading myself with protein that my kidneys just could not process. And so I would say within a 2-3 month time, I had diminished down to 20%. And 20%. Is when you qualify to go on the transplant list. And but it was because I was trying to do what I thought was the right thing, but things that are the right thing don't necessarily mean they're the right thing for you.
You know, that is such a key statement, Giselle. So you decide to make a change, and you say, okay, this is serious. I'm at 40%, and I need to make a change. So you do the things that you think are correct. And why I want to highlight this is that we are so bombarded with so much information on what's healthy, what's right for our bodies, all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it are really misleading. A lot of it's misconceptions. A lot of it is not actually factual, right? There's a lot of marketing around nutrition and health and wellness. And so here you are thinking you're doing the right thing, and that change is actually diminishing your kidney functions another 20%. And so when is it that you now decide, I need help, I need to get some serious interventions, I need to get some clarity, I need to get some knowledge as to what I'm actually supposed to do?
Well, I guess some of that was when I happened to meet you at the Power Networking Conference, and you were talking about nutrition and clean eating and micronutrients and things like that. That was, I guess, one of the things that piqued my interest, because I'm like, I need that, you know, because I felt that trying to get everything that I needed while still adhering to the restrictions of a renal diet, it was very difficult. And so I think that's when I started trying to really put those things together and come up with a different eating plan.
Wow. If you're just joining us, we're speaking with Giselle Woods. Giselle is currently living with stage 4 kidney disease, and she's sharing about how she, you know, had to make some really serious choices and make some really clear changes in her life. You know, Giselle, one of the things that, you know, that's really clear that you didn't actually say, but you did say, was that at some point you had to go find out what was the appropriate diet given your condition, right? Yes. And I think that's really key, because I watch people who have diabetes, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, all these different things, and they continue to do what they do, or they continue to do things based on misinformation without actually stopping and going, what's the appropriate diet and nutritional plan given my circumstances? Right. So that's the first thing that I think is really important to stress, that you actually did. And then from that place, you started seeking out information that you could fit in the context of what you were told was the correct thing to do. Mm-hmm. Am I getting you right?
You are. You are.
You know, so... So now you're here, and so you meet me, and wanting everybody to know, I'm not a nutritionist in any way, shape, or form. But what I am is I seek information based on my commitment to be in the best health possible. So I'm always looking for what I'm supposed to do. And what information I get, I share. And when I get resources and great resources, I share those. So at that point, you decide to do more. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, I decided to do more by the fact that it feels like every time I go to dialysis, there is a new person there. And I said, you know, I bet if I didn't know, a lot of these people, they don't know either. And so I'm sharing it. I want to share health with other people, you know, things that lead up to kidney disease and, you know, the causes of it, the way that you can prolong the life of your kidneys, where you can slow the decline of your kidney function. And I'm sharing that with other people.
And what's your goal as you share?
My goal is to help them find out where they are health-wise, just to make sure that they're okay. If nothing else, make sure that you're okay, and then go from there, because it's better to maintain your health than try to regain it after it's lost.
So your goal is to help people actually implement preventative measures. And when I'm talking about preventative measures, I'm not talking about early detection, early diagnosis. You're talking about being clear on what they're putting in their body, being, you know, exercise, hydration. You're really wanting people to take on responsibility for doing the right things around their health outside of the context of the medical community.
Exactly, because once you, like you were saying, you ask for different tests at the doctor, once you get your full blood panel and it tells you that you are A-okay, you do everything that you can to keep it that way. Don't continue, you know, with a sedentary lifestyle, not working out. Don't continue eating a lot of, you know, preservative-laden sugar and salt, you know, rich foods. You know, go ahead and try and put the right things into your body so that you can maintain that good health and a good weight and energy for your latter years.
You know, it's interesting because one of the things that you're talking, you're really alluding to is choice. And, you know, we often hear, and we're both Black women having this beautiful conversation, and we both, particularly in our community, you hear that Black men and women are predisposed to this, that, the other. And I think when we hear predisposed, we throw our hands up and we go, oh, well, it runs in my family, it runs in my race, therefore there's nothing I can do. Right. And what I'm hearing you say is that it's about choosing to do the right things, choosing to be healthy, choosing prevention, and that health is truly a choice. And most of us aren't often willing to make that choice.
Right.
We're just willing to just go with status quo. And so you're inviting people to choose health.
Most definitely choose health. Definitely.
You know, one of the things I admire most about you, and, you know, I tell you all the time that you're just a total inspiration. And one is because I, you know, you've been on a journey, and the journey is from, you know, being not responsible, not knowing, not doing prevention, to hearing some really tough information around your health. But one of the things I admire about you, Giselle, is that you have always had a positive attitude. You've always been upbeat, but you've always quietly fought.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's one thing to fight when you're unhealthy, but you're really asking people to fight while they're healthy, are you not?
Most definitely.
And why is that?
Because it's you're going to do your body better good than allowing it to break down, and then you're running like going up a down escalator trying to repair it. Just try and keep it healthy. Build upon what you have. Because as I mentioned earlier with the 70 to 85% before you see any symptoms, a lot of conditions are that way. So even though your little markers might be okay today, you know, you could be slowly declining in areas that you don't even realize that haven't shown up on your markers yet. So if you can go ahead and just start trying to right those wrongs, you may save yourself from, you know, tremendous physical heartache and pain later.
You know, I have a saying, and I say it mainly more for myself than anybody else, but I remind myself that health is a journey. It's not a destination.
Right.
And oftentimes I think we relate to our health as a destination, and it really is related to the events that we have to show up for. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And we want to show up looking fly. We want to show up looking good. We want to show up with all our swagger and all those things. But that truly isn't health, right? I remind myself that health is the day-to-day choices that we make. It's that day-to-day commitment. And it's the commitment to love myself enough, to care for myself enough, to do the things that society often don't reward us for. They don't actually even notice. To do the things that are sometimes not popular, to do the things that are sometimes not fun, to do the things that challenge us. But I truly believe that when you actually begin to do those things, you meet a beautiful version of yourself. Because one of the things I've watched is I've watched you become inspired by who you are and who you're committed to being over the past year. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, it draws me. I guess I would say inspired. I'm empowered by just learning more and saying, wow, I do have more. I do have a choice over what's going on in my life. I can make choices. On this day you shall choose, and I can choose. I don't have to accept what is happening to me. Yes, this is the hand that I've been dealt, but it's my choice in how I play it.
So well said. And I love it. This is the hand that you've been dealt. And, you know, oftentimes we try to get the cards back and go, give me another hand.
Mm-hmm.
And you're so right. It is your choice of how you play it. And Giselle, you are playing this game and this hand that you're dealt so graciously. The last thing I wanted to say is I want to recognize you, because I know that you were recognized at the Power Networking Conference this year in Washington, D.C. for your commitment and your transformation of your health. And you have, you know, continued to speak to health and to grow and expand. And I know you started a call, a blab, and you got some things going on. So share with people, you know, what you've got going on and how they can join you.
Okay. And thank you so much, Suzanne. I'm humbled at the fact that I was the Power Networking Conference's 2016 Isobody Challenge winner. I'm very grateful of that, and I want to share with as many people as I can. And yes, the movement that I started is called Are You Kidding Me? It's just the letter R, the letter U, and the word kidney with an M instead of an N, because for one, like I said, I was taken aback by my diagnosis. So I did think they were kidding. I was like, I don't feel sick. You're talking about someone else, but not me. I'm active. I work. I do this. I do that. And so now what I want to do is I want to make sure that other people know that too, because I don't want someone else to get blindsided by a health issue that is life-changing, because kidney disease is life-changing. I mean, your kidneys work for you 24/7. I have to go and let a machine do mine 4 hours a day, 3 days a week, okay? Mm-hmm. So I still have to watch what I eat. I still have to take medications and things like that to offset some of the things that I consume to in order to manage, you know, my blood pressure and my fluid retention and things like that that your kidneys would do automatically. So Are You Kidding Me? We have a blab. We have every Tuesday night where we just blab about everything kidney, and we just answer questions. We're there for support. We're there to share what we know, and we just have a little booklet that gives you all the information you would want to know about why you need your kidneys and why your kidneys need you, and in a blog. So it's just everything that I can do to try and find resources for you, to tell you, you know, new drugs that are being developed, artificial kidneys that are about to go into clinical trials, anything that I can do to share what's going on and how you could possibly overcome some of the obstacles that you face in kidney disease, or how to most definitely not even get here. That's most important, not even get here, is what I want to do. And that's what we're doing with Are You Kidding Me, just to make sure everyone's okay.
Mm. We have been speaking with Giselle Woods. Giselle, thank you so much for spending some time with us. And I know when you spoke at PNC, as you received your award, you said that they don't want to be you, right? And that you encourage them to choose to make the choices that were all about securing and maintaining optimal health. I do know that you have a free gift for everyone listening. In closing, can you let us know what that gift is?
Yes, that is my ebook, Why You Need Your Kidneys and Why Your Kidneys Need You. So I really wish that you would accept that free gift, really read it, utilize it. There are a lot of tips in there. There are a lot of foods and different things that are renal friendly, and I think it would really be a great help to you.
Giselle, thank you so much. Everyone, we've been talking with Giselle Woods. Giselle hails from Dallas, Texas, living with stage 4 kidney disease, and what a powerful interview. Giselle, thank you so much for sharing with us.
Thank you, Suzanne, for having me.
Feeling very blessed right now. Thank you.